Would you stand for the reading of God's word? And while Jesus yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Listen, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Now we're talking about the Jesus response, and the servant's word to Jairus was, She's dead. You know what he was saying? It's over. She's dead. It's over. Quit troubling the master. And Jesus said in response, here's Jesus' response, Be not afraid, only believe. The servant said, It's over. You know what Jesus' response was? It's not over when it's over. You see, you can go ahead and be seated. The world will tell you, they seemingly wise, they'll say, It's not over until it's over. That's the world, right? The world says it's not over until it's over. But Jesus says, It's not over. Even when by all appearances, it's over. Aren't you glad we serve a Lord? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You just thought things were over. I said, You just thought it was over. But Jesus said, It's not over when it's over. We have vehicles that are wrecked, and we have an expression for that when things are really bad. They are totaled. They are beyond repair. They are beyond fixing. When something is total, you know you can't take it to the mechanic. That won't help. When something is totaled, you know you can't take it to the body shop. That's not going to help. It's beyond repair. It's over with. You take it to the junkyard. Even I had an old truck once, paid $200 for it, and I pulled up in front of my rent house, and I could feel the engine spin free, and it wouldn't stop. And I just assumed it's over with. It's beyond repair. And I just called the salvage, and they brought the record out. And I gave them the title because I concluded it's over. And just this week, not even thinking of this sermon, I begin to think, you know that old truck? I was a little bit hasty. I just assumed that the signs of it being over were there. And I called the salvage and the record rather hastily. I might could have fixed that thing. I should have just looked at it. Maybe it was. Wasn't over with. I want to tell you, the enemy would like to convince you that it's over, but even when it appears to be over, it's not over. I want you to know, with Jesus, there are no totals. I said, with Jesus, there are no totals. Even when it looks like it's finished, it's done, it's broken. Amen. With Him, it's not over. Can you worship Him this morning? Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. We've been looking at the human need. And in verse 22, it said, There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And Jairus began to beseech the Lord greatly. Listen to it. Can you hear the desperation in the voice of the father? My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live. In Mark's version, it said, Jairus said, My daughter's at the point of death. In Matthew's, Matthew records it, My daughter even now is dead. In other words, just as good as dead. In Luke, it describes his daughter that she lay a dying. We're not told the sickness, we're not told the disease, but what we are told in this human need, that all medical, all natural hope of recovery was gone. It appeared inevitable according to the natural perspective that this was it. It would soon be over with this little girl. Amen. That's the human need. You know, this was the ruler of the synagogue, we're told. This is Jairus, the ruler. He had position. He was in all effects the pastor of of the church. Amen. And I'm not making allusions to myself, but to this, the ruler of the synagogue, the pastor of the church. But Jairus had a need. And with that need, there's no pride of position. I said, there's no pride of position. Amen. Nothing meant anything except his daughter being healed. And he came to Jesus. Pride was forgotten. Position was forgotten. And he fell at the feet of Jesus, saying, Jesus, would you not heal my daughter? Amen. What am I talking about? If Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, can have troubles. Pastors have problems too. I'm not talking about me. I'm going to make a point. But pastors have problems too. You know, you think of some people, if they're in this position, they don't have problems. They don't have struggles. They don't have any needs. But I'm telling you, this is a ruler of the synagogue, and he's got a need. What are you saying, Brother Hurst? Just because somebody's in a different position or a different demographic than you doesn't mean they don't have problems, just like you have problems. The young don't think the old have problems, and the old don't think the young have problems, and the children don't think the parents have problems, and the parents don't think the children have problems, and the married don't think the singles have problems, and the singles don't think that the married couples have problems. I just want you to know, if I could put it this way, all of God's children have problems. All of God's children need to know it's not over when you think it's over. Hallelujah. Oh, what a need. I want to look at the usual probable response. First of all, the daughter's response. The point is, she can't respond. She's too ill to respond. She's too sick to go to Jesus herself. She's even too sick to pray for herself. Even if she was conscious, all she could do was lie and groan and hurt and suffer. I want to tell you, you can have problems so difficult that you can't even get to Jesus yourself. You can have pain and struggles and hurts so strong you can't even pray for yourself. Have you been there? Have you been too sick, too much in grief, too overwhelmed even to pray for yourself? Have you been there? Amen. That's where this daughter was. Thank God, when you're in that place, God will raise up a brother or a sister that will go to Jesus for you. Hallelujah. If she could have thought, that young lady lay there saying, this is it. It's over. It's over. I can't get any sicker. Amen. If I get any sicker, it's over. I'm dead. Amen. That's the daughter. What about Jairus? You've got to understand, he's a parent. He's a father. He's an older man. He's been through many things, but he's never felt pain like he's feeling now. Amen. His daughter is down and dying, and there seems like there's nothing as dad that he can do to help her. Listen to his language in Mark. He says, my little girl. Luke tells us that this was his only daughter. Amen. If you're a parent here today, you know as a parent there's no greater pain for your heart as a parent than when your children are hurting and your children are struggling and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it as a parent. That's Jairus. He is pained. Oh, but he did the right thing. He went to Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad we can go to Jesus? I don't know how far he came. Amen. But he came to Jesus. And it wasn't perfunctory. It wasn't formalistic. It wasn't ritualistic. Amen. He fell down at Jesus' feet and said, won't you come to my house? We got a problem in my house. We got a problem with my daughter. Jesus, won't you come to my house and lay your hands on my daughter? I'm telling you, some parents this morning, you got difficult situations in your home with your children, with your family, with your spouse. You need to do the same thing Jairus did. You need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, come to my house. Come to my house. Come to my problem. Lay your hands on the one that has the need. Oh, hallelujah. That was Jairus' response. Yes, Jairus had to be consternated. He's angry. anxious. He's upset. And then it gets worse. Even how many remembers what happens after Jairus first came to Jesus? And Jesus starts with Jairus too. What happened? What happened? Jairus and Jesus are interrupted. This is when inserted is the woman with the issue of blood. We've already preached that, but the point is Jairus had to wait. He even had to wait in this series because we were supposed to preach about him last week, but I preached a communion, sir. He even had to wait in the series. Can you imagine your daughter's dying? You're on the way to the house with Jesus, and Jesus is interrupted. Jesus stops to deal with that. Can you imagine what's going on in the heart of Jairus? Why is Jesus stopping? Why the delay? Why doesn't Jesus hurry and do something quickly? Why is he dealing with this lady? Amen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that kind of consternation? Amen. Why is Jesus stopping for this lady? She's made it 12 years with her problem. She can make it another day, but my daughter is dying. My daughter won't last the day. Amen. Later he had to even be beside himself with anger and grief, because later he gets the word that while Jesus is delaying dealing with that woman, his daughter dies. Can you imagine that father's anxiety and anger? He's thinking to himself, amen, if Jesus had not delayed, if Jesus had come more quickly, my daughter would not have died. Jesus should have done something sooner. But to jump ahead, Jairus is going to learn that he's an on-time God. He's never too late, because when it's over, it's not over. I said, when it's over, it's not over. Hallelujah. Oh, a point to be made is if Jesus had not delayed, he only would have healed a sick girl. But since Jesus delayed, he did more than heal a sick girl. He raised her from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was the response of the servant with the news? Verse 35, I read it as the text. But while Jesus yet spake to the woman, there came a ruler, as one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, the servant, and said, thy daughter is dead. Right when Jairus thought it couldn't get any worse, it got worse. Have you been there? Have you been there? Let me see some honesty. You didn't think it could get worse. It got worse. Him and Jairus is trying to pull Jesus away from the woman. And the servant said, your daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Let me put it in the language of this message. You know what that servant said? She's dead. It's over with. You can quit praying now. It's too late, even for this Jesus. It's over. Has your job ever been in jeopardy? You prayed about your job and you lost it. You've been praying about your marriage. Now he's left. You've been praying about your lost child. Now she says, I no longer believe in God. You've been praying about your sickness. Now the doctor says, it's terminal. That's what the servant said. It's over. It's over. I want to tell you something. You'll hear that kind of report too. I want you to hear me across the building, because with every need you take to Jesus, if that need is not immediately met, you will inevitably hear the voice of this servant that says, why do you keep praying about that thing? Why do you keep asking about that thing? It's over. It's over. She's dead. You don't need to trouble the master any further. There comes a point when all you will hear, it does no good to keep praying. It's over. I want you to know, though, we're going to find out in just minutes that no sincere prayer is ever in vain. I said no sincere prayer is ever in vain. Hallelujah. You've heard me say it many times. He'll either give you deliverance from the problem, or he'll give you grace to go through it. He'll heal here, or he'll heal in heaven. But there's never been a sincere prayer that was in vain. The servant, the voice of Satan, your own doubt will tell you it's over. It's over. Quit praying. You say, no, sir, I believe I'll pray again. Because with Jesus, when it's over, it's not over. Hallelujah. Oh, the disciples thought that at Jesus' tomb. Everything they dreamed for, everything they hoped for, and now he's dead, crucified, laying in a tomb. They looked at one another, said, let's go hide and grieve. It's over with. They should have thought of this incident when Jesus tried to tell them that with him, when it looks like it's over, it's not over. Because 3 days later, there was a shaking. Hallelujah. And by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, the resurrection of Christ, it tells us a finality that when it appears to be over, it's not over. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Why did this servant say, don't trouble the master any further? When he got there, Brother Cruz, he had to have heard how that lady with the issue of blood just got healed. So why did he tell his master to quit praying? It's over. He had to have heard that woman just got healed. You see, there's something interesting I find intriguing about us as people. Even though we believe in miracles, there are some that we believe can happen and some we believe can't happen. Even though we believe in miracles. Isn't that right? That man knew that lady with the issue of blood just got healed. But he told his master, quit praying. It's over with your daughter. You could say, well, I believe that so-and-so's child can get saved, but not my child. You say, I believe this one can be healed, but this is a different case. This one can't be healed. You say, I believe that this person can change, but I don't believe they can change. Amen. We begin to pick and choose what God is able to do. How about it today? We quit picking and choosing. I said, how about we quit picking and choosing? Oh, he raised this daughter from the dead. He made a statement that when it's over, it's not over. And I want to tell you something in the words of the song. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he will do for you. If he saved this lady's spouse and husband, he can save your husband. If he saved their child, he can save those people's child. If he healed this one, he can heal that one. If he delivered this one, he can deliver that one. Oh, hallelujah. I said, it is no secret. You see, I can't be saved. Look around you at the saved folks. If he can save them, he can save you. Hallelujah. Oh, because when it's over, it's not over. Hallelujah. What about people in general? I think our response even today is, why a child? Young, yet to live their life. Why a child? I'm not going to get involved in that except to say this. If Jesus only healed adults when he walked the earth, then when our kids got sick, we wouldn't know that he could heal children. But we've got an account where he healed a child. Oh, he raised her from the dead. Glory to God. I can imagine that father and the people around were thinking like we would think. She was in the prime of her life. All of her life was yet before her. And now it's over. Oh no. Could you just say it with me? It's not over when it's over. Say it again. It's not over when it's over. Amen. What about the Jesus response? Well, first of all, when Jairus asked Jesus to come with him to his house, Jesus went with him. Look in verse 24. Jesus went with him. I want to tell you with confidence this morning, if you will invite Jesus and take Jesus, Jesus will go right to the place of your need. Come to my house, Jairus said. Jesus went with him. Hasn't he been that way? How many remembers the day? Your old sinful soul. You say, God, I'm full of problems. Jesus, would you come into my heart? Did he hesitate? I said, did he? No, here he comes. Aren't you glad for the Jesus response? Come into my problem, he'll come. Come into my need, he'll come. Come into my circumstance, he'll come. The only reason he hasn't come is you've not invited him. Hallelujah. Verse 36, the servant has just said, don't trouble the master. She's dead. But as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, Jesus' response was this: Jairus, your servant is saying it's over with, but I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. It's not over when it's over. At this moment of the Father's greatest grief and pain and loss, with ever hope seen gone, ever possibility over with, it's all ended, Jesus looked at that Father and said, be not afraid, only believe. It's not over. And in Luke's version, Jesus also added, she shall be made whole. You think that it's over with? Your daughter's going to talk again. Your daughter's going to walk again. Your daughter's going to wrap her arms around you again. Oh, can I tell you the Jesus response? It's go ahead and say it with me. It's not over when it's over. That's what he said to that father. Oh, hallelujah. The father's thinking it's too late. But Jesus said, your servant says she's dead, but I say she shall be made whole. I know what reality is. I stand behind this pulpit with the casket in front of me. Amen. The prayers have been prayed and tears are being cried. And the inclination is to say, it's over. It's all over. It's over. But I tell you, even when we commit them to the grave, it's not over. Because I say we commit this body to the grave until the sure resurrection of Jesus Christ, when body and soul, I'm telling you, in a moment, at a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ, it's not over when it's over. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I tell you, it's not over when it's over. I want us to be instructed, because the servant said it's over. At this point, Jairus could have had enough of this Jesus. Instead, Jairus said to Jesus, okay, go ahead and come with me to my house. In other words, he's got the word, it's over. He could have sent Jesus away, but he didn't. He kept Jesus right there with him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you're going to have the same temptation. Your situation, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be hurt. You're going to think it's over. And you're going to have the impulse. What use is it to stick with this Jesus and let him stick with me? I'll just send Jesus packing. I'll just say, oh, no, sir. Jairus has just been told it's over. But he said, I believe I'll keep Jesus with me. I'm telling you, that's the response. Whenever a demon in hell cries, whenever doubt of your heart says it's over, just get rid of Jesus. Send him packing. Don't trouble the master. Oh, you say, no, sir. I believe I'll keep him with me. Don't you know what it's like at home? It's been, yes, I do, but I'm taking Jesus with me. Don't you know what the problems are? I'll tell you what, I've never seen the time that when it starts getting rough and questions are unanswered and problems are unsolved, people start ditching Jesus, getting rid of Jesus like there's something wrong with you. I'll tell you what your problem is. You haven't stuck with it long enough to realize that when it's over with Jesus, it's not over. Let him prove himself to you. I said, let him prove himself to you. Verse 37. And Jesus, they got to the house. No man followed him save Peter, James, John, the brother James. Verse 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And he seeth the tumult, them that wept, and wailed. You know what happened? At the house, everybody had came to the same conclusion as the servant. It's over with. They've hired the mourners. They picked out the songs for the funeral. God, and I'm not against wise planning. I'm just talking about their conclusion was, it's over. The doctor had pronounced her dead. The family is grieving. The mourners with their musicians have filled the house. And when they got to the outskirts of the neighborhood, they could hear the weeping and the wailing. And every wail, every cry said, it's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. Have you been there? Everything cried. It's over. It's over. Verse 39. And when he was come in, they're saying it's over. But Jesus has just crossed the threshold of the house. Let me tell you something about Jesus. The scripture just says when Jesus was come in. But I want to tell you, when Jesus comes in, salvation comes in. When Jesus comes in, healing comes in. When Jesus, that was salvation that walked into that house. That was healing. I'll tell you what walked into that house, Brother Kroger. When Jesus crossed the threshold, the resurrection crossed the threshold. Ever cried, said it's over. But it's not over. Stepped across the threshold into the house. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you say it with me again? It's not over when it's over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he has come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Jesus looked at the mourning mother and the crying crowd and said, why are you grieving? Why are you despairing? It's not over. The damsel's not dead. She's just asleep. You say, wait a minute. Is Jesus denying reality? No. Is Jesus deceived? No. Did Jesus know she had just fainted and everybody else thought she was dead? No. Is Jesus blind? No. Jesus knew that she was dead. Then why in the world did he say, she's not dead. She's only asleep. Because he was saying to that mother and father, as easy as it is for you to wake your daughter out of sleep, it's that easy for me to raise her from the dead. Oh, and he's also saying, though everyone there thought death was the finality, they thought death was it, it's over. What Jesus is saying, he's not denying death. He's just telling them, you think death means it's all over, but death doesn't mean it's all over. Hallelujah! You thought your loved one, she's dead, he's dead, it's all over. No, sir. If they're a believer in Christ, they're fully alive in the presence of the Lord, because to be absent from the body is to be present, oh, with the Lord. Let's go ahead and worship him, could you? Verse 40, they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They hooted at him. They were angry. They thought he was silly. Silly. They were saying, he says she's not dead. Can't he see that she is dead? In other words, they were saying anybody can see that it's over. Irreversibly, irrecoverably, irreconcilably over. She's dead. Oh, but they're going to learn a lesson. Go ahead and say it. They're going to learn a lesson with Jesus. It's not over. When it's over. He put them all out except the father and mother and those chosen disciples. I'm telling you what, if you want Jesus to do some things in your life, there comes a point, I'm not going to preach this, I'm just going to mention, if you really want Jesus to work in your life, there comes a time where you're going to have to put some things out. Get rid of them. How many believes what I'm telling you? And only allow those in your life that will support the work of Christ in your heart. Verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, and arise. I want you to notice something. Jairus said, Jesus, would you put your hands on her and pray for her? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus took her by the hand. Why? Is he dishonoring that father? No, because the father just wanted her to feel better. Go ahead and put your hand. But Jesus, he took her by the hand. That's what you do with somebody you're getting ready to raise up. If somebody's down, they need help getting up, you take them by the hand. She's dead. It's over with. Jesus took her by the hand because there's no question. There's no doubt. It's inevitable. If Jesus takes you by the hand, he's going to lift you up. Sister, you read it this morning. He lifted me up out of the pit. Hallelujah. You see, I feel the hand of Jesus reaching out to me. I want to tell you something. If Jesus walks the aisle and takes you by the hand, he's got one intention. He's going to bring you out. Hallelujah. You may be a sinner this morning, but if Jesus takes you by the hand, you're not going to stay in the pit. You're going to come out of there. You're in despair, discouragement this morning. Let him take you by the hand. When he gets a hold of you, he has one intention. Lift you out. Oh, hallelujah. It's not over. When it's over, he said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. You say, wait a minute. She's dead. She can't hear. I want to tell you something. This shows she wasn't dead. She's fully alive on the other side. And Jesus spoke to her. They're saying she's dead. She can't hear you. Jesus said, I speak in a way that though she's on the other side, she'll still be able to hear me. Oh, hallelujah. What it was in glow in the dark, arise, my love. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus can speak, and they hear it clear on the other side. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You don't believe it? Lazarus, come forth. He heard it clear on the other side. And the dead in Christ shall rise. At what? At the shout of the Lord. Why? They hear it clear on the other side. Hallelujah. You think you're walled off from Jesus. You think you put up the barriers and the facade and Jesus can't get through to you. I'm telling you, he knows how to speak till it gets to the other side. Hallelujah. Last of all, the results of Jesus' response. He took the damsel by her hand, said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. See what the problem was? Death had come and taken her hand, pulled her into death, drained the life. But now life has just taken hold of her hand and she's coming up out of there. Verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years old. Think of this. Jairus was upset at that woman for interrupting the master, but that woman had had her disease from the day this girl was born. Because the woman had her disease for 12 years, right? See, Jesus, he knew what he was doing. If only one need can be met, maybe Jesus was a mistake of dealing with the woman instead of getting to the daughter. But when he can meet both needs, no mistake was made. You may be sitting here and say, I've had my problem longer than these young people sitting over here. It didn't matter to that lady with the issue of blood. Did it? And he took her by the hand. And the damsel arose and walked. It was not incremental. Sometimes God may choose to do things that way. Heal you. A healing's not the same as a miracle. Healing can be take places in increments, but a miracle is instantaneous. Amen. This girl lying down, she didn't incrementally get better. Open her eyes, and a few days later began to feed herself, and a few days later try to swing her feet across the edge of the bed and walk. No, the Bible says when Jesus began to lift her, she was didn't he say, I will, she's going to be made whole? Didn't he say that? I'm telling you, it wasn't incremental. In a moment, when she heard the call, in a moment, she was 100% completely and totally healed. How do we know? Amen. She'd had a fever, a disease that took her life. She'd grown weaker by the day, sicker by the day. She had died with it. But when he said, arise, immediately she gets out of that bed and she walks. Amen. In the Greek, it uses a tense that meant she walked and she kept on walking. She ran to mama. She ran to daddy. She ran to Jesus. She ran around the room saying, oh, I feel so good. would, just like a 12-year-old girl would. Why? Because when Jesus saves you, he don't save you halfway. When Jesus delivers you, he don't deliver you halfway. It's complete. It's 100%. I wish somebody let Jesus make you whole today. It's not over. When it's over now, we see she's walking about. They said it was over. She'll never walk again. She's walking. She's not even weak. Last verse. And Jesus charged him straightly that no man should know it. We're not going to go into that. What I want you to notice, and he commanded that something should be given her to eat. No telling how long it's been since this girl's eaten anything. She's been that sick. And mom and dad so excited their daughter's healed, they're not thinking of the normal, everyday, usual needs. But I want you to notice what Jesus did. He just met the greatest of possible needs. He raised someone from the dead. And yet he, at the same time, is concerned about the mundane, everyday need. She's hungry. Give her something to eat. And I don't mean yogurt or rice and bananas. She's whole. Cook her a steak. Baked potato and sour cream. You say you're making fun. No. Everybody says it's over. Now she's eating steak. You don't eat steak when you're... That's not Bible. But I'm telling you, she was whole. How many believe that it's not over when it's over? Would you say it with me across the building? It's not over when it's over. Hallelujah. Music, would you come? I want to call your mind to another situation that emphasizes this. Amen. Mary and Martha sent unto Jesus and said, our brother Lazarus, he's dying. Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus is dying. Why don't we just tarry for 2 days and take a break here? Lazarus is dying. You're taking a break. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And after 2 days, he said to the disciples, let's go ahead and go there. And when they got there, they found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 2 days already for a total of 4 days. Martha saw him coming, and her first word, she met him on the road and said, Jesus, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know what Martha just said? She said, it's over. Jesus looked at her and said, listen, Martha, if you would only believe, you'd find out that it's not over. And Martha said, oh, I know, you're just talking about the resurrection. And I know that in the resurrection, the last day, my brother Lazarus shall rise again. And Jesus looked at Martha and shook his head and said, no, you're not getting it. I'm not talking about the resurrection at the last day, because I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It looks like death, but it's just crossing the threshold into eternity with God. Amen. We won't go into what Mary said, but they got to the tomb. Everybody's weeping. Everybody's saying, it's over, it's over. Jesus wept too, not because it was over, but because they thought it was over. He empathized. Jesus knew he wasn't weeping because it was, he was weeping because they thought it was over. And Jesus looked around. Amen. You know what they said, those skeptics that day, those mockers, they said, could not this man open the blinded eyes? Couldn't he cause that this man should not have died? Couldn't he have kept it from getting to this point? Jesus wept and groaned in his spirit, and he said, take ye away the stone. And Martha spoke up one more time. She said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh. You know what she said one more time, so everybody could hear it at the grave? She was saying, Jesus, it's over with. He's been dead 4 days. It's irreparably, irreconcilably, irrecoverably over with. He stinketh. Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of... You know what Jesus said? He's saying, Martha, didn't I already tell you it's not over when it's over? And he lifted up his voice, hallelujah, and said, Lazarus, come forth. Everybody said, he's not going to do it. It's over with. But suddenly from the darkness of the mouth of that tomb, there is a growing whiteness. And here comes a mummy. Oh, everything. It's over with. He's wrapped the napkins upon his face. It's over with. Here comes, it's over with. I said, here comes, it's over with. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. It's not over when it's over. Would you stand and worship him this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. He is Jesus. He is Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him, church. Come on, let's praise him. Oh. I want, in honesty, I want everyone that has a situation. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, but all you're hearing is, why trouble the master further? It's over with. It's done. You've got that kind of situation. I want you to begin to come right now and say, I'm going to quit believing it's over. I'm going to start believing that when it's over, it's not over with Jesus. Amen. I know there's more than this. You've got a situation you think it's over with. It's not over when it's over. You say, they buried my loved one. We know the pain of that. But I want to tell you, if they died in Christ, it's still not over. It's still not over. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, there's others. You got a need. All you've heard is it's over, it's over, it's over. It's not over when it's over. Come on, church, there's others. Hallelujah. Press in as close as you can. Press in as close as you can. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is here. I want to tell you something. The same Spirit that raised up that little girl, amen, by the word of Christ, that same Spirit that raised up Lazarus, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus is in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, seek him. I'm going to start believing that when it's over, it's not over. Come on, gather in as close as you can. Either pray or help pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, would you gather in across the building? Listen to that voice that says he can save other children. He can't save mine. Don't listen to it. He can save other marriages. He can't save mine. Don't listen to it.
He's on time, God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's on time.
Oh, come on, church, believe it. Don't listen to the voice that says it's over. Listen to Jairus. Jairus, if he could take the mic, Jairus would say it's not over when it's over. Listen to Jairus, it's not over when it's over.
He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's on time, God. Yes, he is. Well, he's on time, God. Yes,
come on, church. Let's believe in our Savior. Let's believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Christ. We believe in His power. This is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. Yes, it'll alleviate sickness. Yes, it'll make our hearts glad. But this is for the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. Well, he may not
Come on, let him come into your house. Let him come into your need. Let him come into your life. Hallelujah.
He's an on time God. Yes, he is.
Oh, hallelujah.
He's on time when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on time God. Yes, he is. He's an on time God. Yes, he is.
Exalt Jesus all across the front. Exalt Jesus. Lift him high. Invite him into your house. Invite him into your need. Invite him into your situation.